Hello, and welcome to the Brighter Thinking Pod from Cambridge University Press. My name is Adam, and I'm one of the producers on the pod. Before we get started with today's topic, I want you to imagine the time you'd save if you had classroom assessments that mark themselves. Assessments that adapt to every student's abilities and aptitudes. I'm talking about testing that's suitable for all ages with the power to reveal individual strengths and struggles. This technology frees you to teach, gives you more insight than ever before, and allows you to set motivational goals for each of your students. Sound good? Okay, stop imagining. What I've just described are baseline assessments from the Centre for Evaluation and Monitoring. If you're interested in learning more, go to chem.org. That's C-E-M.org. Okay, let's get on with the pod.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Brighter Thinking Pod from Cambridge University Press with me, your host, Lucy Mills. My role at the Press is Head of Publishing, and as someone who works in educational publishing with schools, I'm really looking forward to discussing the opportunities as well as the challenges for young students to gain work experience. The Brighter Thinking Pod brings you bags of advice and conversation from some of our brighter thinkers, authors, teachers and academics, with a slice of entertainment on the side too. Today, we're going to be taking a closer look at exploring ways in which we can introduce the world of work to students. And we're joined by Vicky Barkney, a careers lead at Nene Park Academy in Peterborough, and Tom McElDowie, senior education specialist at Adobe, who will be answering all your questions. Remember, all the links and info that we discuss is available in the show notes for your ease. And if you want to get your voice heard on the show, you can get in touch on Twitter using the hashtag BrighterPod or by email at educationmarketing@cambridge.org. Finally, please remember to like, review and subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you are listening on. So let's start by introducing our guests today. Hello, Vicky. Hello, Tom.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. And before we get into the main theme today, we're going to start with a little icebreaker so our listeners can get to know our guests better. So, Tom and Vicky, let's take you back to your school days. I won't ask how long ago that was. Please, could you tell us a bit about your very first weekend or after-school job? Vicky, starting with you.
Okay, so I had loads of jobs when I was a youngster, but the first one that I can remember, I used to work in a cafe every Saturday, so I'd go spend 12 hours there, and I remember coming away with £15 every day, and it was like I'd won the lottery every week. It was amazing.
Excellent. All that money counted, didn't it? I had a similar. Tom, how about you?
I think, well, the first one was working on a farm down the road. I don't think I was really paid for that, but taught me a lot. But my first paid job was at the co-op in a local town. And I remember being paid the handsome fee of £2.14 an hour for that job. And then after that, working at Sandy Balls Holiday Park, which was great as well.
Oh, excellent. That 14p actually made all the difference, didn't it?
I think there was even a 0.345 or something when I looked at my payslip.
Excellent. Let's move on to our discussion about creating opportunities for young people to experience the world of work, both inside and outside the classroom. What can schools and parents, and of course students themselves, do to put themselves in the best place to flourish in the world of work? So first to Vicky, perhaps you could tell us something about your role in your school and some of the challenges you face in engaging students in the world of work.
Yeah, so obviously as a careers leader for the school, I look after and create the careers programme that we run each year for our years 7 through to 13. And actually a big part of that is our work experience programme and how that feeds into teaching them the skills for moving on after they leave us. As we know, the future can be scary for any student. So many options for them, which can leave them overwhelmed. And that's even been brought on even worse since the pandemic. You know, there's a lot of their future is now unclear. So I think the world of work now is shifting. You know, businesses are changing how they operate. companies are now reluctant to have extra sets of hands on site, and it's going to prove difficult, I think, to get students in there and for workplaces to agree to take them on. We ourselves have had to get quite creative, and last year we ran quite a few virtual work experience weeks, which proved very successful. And obviously, they can't fully replicate the skills and experience that any student will get from that face-to-face learning in the workplace. But it definitely helped bridge that gap on some of the development that they had on their skills.
Excellent. Thanks, Vicky. And Tom, as an employer, are there challenges you have in welcoming students into the workplace, and or many perhaps for the first time?
Yeah, and I think echoing what Vicky was saying, since the pandemic as well, I've been working totally remotely for the last nearly 24 months. And even joining new members of our team, I've never met them face to face. So actually that face to face experience for young people is very difficult. There's one thing around the virtual work experience, but what I've been involved in as well is the mock interview process as well, which gets young people that experience of actually interacting with an employer rather than just thinking about the process. And that's been enlightening for them and useful for me as well. So I think the key thing is how schools and organizations can interact with employers at different levels, not just being work experience, to gain those experiences for young people is key.
Yeah. And I think often what we've found too is that so often those more junior members of staff, that being in the office, surrounding yourself with colleagues is so important, and they've just been had less of that over the last 2 years. Why is that so important? Why is it to have that office relationships, especially when you're starting out in your career, do you think? Tom?
I think the key there is around those informal conversations, picking things up, building relationships that you can't do when you're on a video call, because only one person can talk at one time. Whereas when you're in the office, you're going to get a coffee, you're sitting around having a conversation, you're looking over someone's shoulder, you hear another conversation, you join in, and you start forming connections. And that's the bit that is really difficult to replicate in a virtual world, because it's either written on text in typing in messages, or it's in a wider forum generally. So they call it, is it the water cooler chats?
Yeah.
They just don't happen anymore. And absolutely, we had the office open a couple of times to go in, but not every day. And just having those conversations again was really useful, and just builds up that feeling of part of a team. So it's difficult to replicate that team, and then supporting people as they come in too. So when you've got those junior members of staff, you can actually see if they're struggling with something and offer to help out as well.
Okay, well, we've been taking some questions from our panel of Cambridge teachers on the Cambridge Nationals Teacher Panel, which is a community of teachers online. We've had a few questions, including Pamela. Pamela asks that she struggled to get any work experience for her students, not only because of the pandemic, but also because of her students' age, which is typically between 14 to 16. It's not so easy these days to get a Saturday or holiday job. Are there any ways in which schools can help introduce students to the world of work? I'm thinking here of activities such as role plays and CV workshops. Vicky, what's your experience of creating work-style activities in the classroom for students?
Yeah, sometimes we do have to get really creative in how we introduce those to our students. A good example would be this year, we have our Year 11s, they're studying Romeo and Juliet. And I had a meeting with one of the English teachers, and we came up with a way in which they would get the students to write a CV for Juliet, look at her skill set and the kind of things that she could apply for. So it was getting them to think about CVs, but not putting, you know, getting them in class and just doing pure CV writing. It was make it a bit more creative, a bit more fun for them. So that was a good way to introduce it. I mean, all of our departments have links to careers, and they often put stuff in their drama. We'll often do mock interviews and things like that. So it's finding a task that is suitable for your subject, which you can link directly into careers, and sometimes without the students even realising that.
I love that idea, creative CV writing and embedding and making links to careers in other subjects and in other lessons. That's excellent. Tom, do you have any advice for skills or knowledge that you would appreciate students gaining before they step inside the workplace for the first time?
I think the key there is most organisations have some form of online presence. And the first thing I'd recommend that they do is they do some research. So rather than just turning up and saying, I don't know anything that you do, they actually research what that business does, what their main product that they sell or support. And so they've got that understanding, first of all. Quite often they've got a YouTube channel explaining what they do for their customers. So that showing of interest is really powerful and builds that relationship with that employer when they first step in. So they've actually taken time to understand what's going on. So that would be my key tip if any students going into employment or the workplace, research.
Yeah. And Vicky, do you encourage students to do that research when they're applying for jobs, to go online, find out about the company, its culture, its structure and its mission, things like that?
Yeah, definitely. When we run employability stuff, I think there is a key point is you must know something about that company. It shows your interest when, they ask for questions and you can pull something out what you might have read online or seen. It just shows that employer that you're keen and you want that job. So, yeah, very important.
And in terms of linking with industry, Vicky, how easy has it been for your school to link with employers and set up meaningful encounters for your students?
I mean, I began this role during the pandemic, so that has had an impact, a significant impact on what we have been able to do. But we have, like I said earlier, last year we created our virtual work experience with Form the Future, and we piloted a program, which that was fantastic. We worked with some amazing companies. We worked with, Cambridge University Press and Morgan Sindall, and we had some fantastic employers that came on and delivered an experience. Now, obviously, that can't mimic what we said earlier, what they will get in a workplace, but it definitely gave us enough to be able to feel satisfied that they'd gained, meaningful encounters from that. But from that, we've now established some great links with those companies, which will lead on to, work experience, placements, trips, those kind of things. So the importance, I guess, is finding those meaningful relationships. Some schools, they will find, 50 employers that are happy to help out, but that's not what you need. You need to narrow that down and have maybe 5 to 10 really good employers that are willing and to really work with those students.
Yeah. We've also had a comment from Julia on our teacher panel, who struggles to get work experience for students with special needs. Do you have any recommendations for Julia, Vicky?
Yeah, so this is always a tough one, and it's more it's more about the businesses and less the work on our side of us trying to get that right. And obviously with students with any kind of special needs, there's no answer that fits all, because it depends on their own capabilities, where they might need the extra support. A couple of ways around that sometimes is we have a couple of companies that we work with, like we have our local British Heart Foundation charity shop. They're always willing to take on students that have additional needs and give them the extra guidance. Sometimes we will send a TA with those students. And it might turn into more of a work shadowing as opposed to a work experience. And other times we will just set up a work placement in school for them. So they will get a role in school. They might work in the sports department. We'll make it as real for them as possible, treat them as a young adult and give them that real life experience. So it's really just catering to a young person at that point and make it really individualised for them.
Some great ideas. Thanks, Vicky. We've also had a comment from a teacher, Donna, from our panel about the need to bring the world of work to life by inviting outside speakers to describe what it's really like, a sort of day in the life experience. Tom, as an employer, how many schools does Adobe have links with? And do you visit schools and talk to them about working for Adobe?
So generally, we have our corporate social responsibility arm that will go out and do events in schools, so drop events and link with other partners as well, such as Accenture, in doing events in the school. And they'll explain about the work life, and then there'll be an activity that the young people do, so things around innovation, creativity. And in terms of links as well, we also encourage our staff to become school governors as well, because that also forms a good connection with understanding what's going on in school. So those are the key things. And then the skills, it's around confidence building. Young people, and I was a teacher for 14 years, they know their teachers in school, and seeing someone from outside, it's how they interact with them, how they actually communicate with them, because they can be a bit nervous sometimes. And so those are some of those skills. Just talking to people from outside of their school environment is really, really useful.
Yeah. Thanks, Tom. I've heard a bit about this as well as some creating videos, for instance, of parachuting a video of an employer into the school. And maybe you've had experience of this too, Vicky. What are your thoughts on creating videos that students can watch if they can't get into the workplace? Tom first.
So one of the projects I've been working with Sky TV and around how we can actually give examples of people doing their job in the real world to young people. So we've filmed with journalists, we've filmed with camera people explaining their job, because quite often it when a teacher's talking about it, does it feel real? But actually having a professional explaining what they do in their job just adds that extra value. And it's how we can give those encounters to young people that can't always access them. So Sky Academy Studios have a great experience where you can go in and see what's going on. But if you can't get into the experience, or you live on the outskirts or coastal towns around the country, it makes it very difficult. So this is one thing that's probably leveled the playing field slightly in providing this video content, explaining that. And I think that's a key thing as well. As a teacher, when I was in school, you say how it should be and what you think it's like, but have you actually done it? And having someone that does it day to day, explaining what they do in their job, actually really is really powerful.
Yeah, I bet. Vicky, have you ever parachuted in videos and set up video opportunities of employers telling students what it's like a day in the life of their work? Has that been something you've done?
Yeah, I think we've done that alongside, you know, bigger parts of other stuff. So when they've been delivering things, employers will then go on to talk about that. I mean, for me, I always want it to be live, pre-recorded stuff. It doesn't really hit the same areas that we want to kind of knock off. So live interactions like that where students can then feedback and ask questions. I mean, that'd be fantastic, and we'd use that all the time.
Yeah, great. Okay, moving on to the benefits of work experience. I'm sure you've got a lot to say about this. Tom, do you find that students who come to Adobe or in other employments you've been in gain a lot from their contact with the workplace?
So I think I taught here from when I was in school, and I was teaching some really challenging year 10 students. Then there was a girl that we just couldn't get her to engage in the classroom. She was able, but she just didn't really engage. And we as a school chose to do work experience. And she did a work experience placement in a nursery. And when she came back after 2 weeks, and I think I even visited her as well, she was a completely different character. And what it did, by her experiencing what she needed to do to get to that next stage, seeing there was a job where she could have impact, where she could really kind of flourish, but she needed to then go through the process of going through her education properly and applying herself, was amazing, and to me was one of the biggest experiences I had of the positive impact of work experience. So I think that's a really key thing, and I'd seen it so many other times where young people were kind of thinking, I'm not quite sure what I want to do. It's a scary choice. And what we're saying is your career is not going to necessarily be the same for the next 30, 40 years. You're going to be doing multiple jobs, but just seeing what it's like and saying, oh, it was really interesting to be spoken to like I was a part of the workforce rather than a pupil. And again, that just change in young people of how they felt was really powerful too. So that's been my main experience in terms of from before I was working directly at Adobe.
Yeah, that's a great story. Vicky, do you find that students' assumptions about the world change after they've had an encounter with an employer?
I think with anything in life now, we're all influenced by media, family, friends. So having that experience for themselves can really enlighten them. Some students may come from a household where neither parent works and may have an assumption based on that. Some might come from a household where, you know, both parents are in very high roles, doctors, surgeons, that kind of thing. So it can definitely impact them. So having that, their own personal experience where they can learn things and take away from that, I think is quite vital. It might influence their then career choice. It might help them narrow down what they don't want to do. I find that a lot with students when I have interviews with them, you know, they don't know what they want to do. And it's okay, well, let's take out what you definitely don't want to do as opposed to what you do want to do. Because, you know, at 15 years old, did we know what we wanted to do when we were older? So it's just about getting out there, meeting people, growing your confidence and enhancing those kind of soft skills. Mm.
I think confidence has come up a few times. That's definitely such a big, important thing to develop in young people and help them in that, in making those choices, which may feel daunting at times, as we've spoken about. I just want to turn the question around a bit here. Do these encounters, Tom and Vicky, they offer insights for you too, as a person, professionally or personally, as an employer? Do you learn anything? Do your assumptions change, Tom?
Yeah, I think for me, working in a digital company and then the mock interviews with young people, we all think of them as being really capable and kind of digital natives, that they grew up, mobile phones have been around, touchscreen TVs and everything else as well, and tablets. And actually, when you start interviewing them, there's a couple of things that they might be able to use some of the tools, but are they really confident in using them and are using them the right way? So an example could be mock interviews. They were being interviewed on video. Did they actually look into the camera when they were talking to me, or did they just look at the floor? When I asked about some things that they had created, so one of them was saying to me, yeah, I'm really good at graphic design. I said, can you show me your portfolio? I haven't got one of those. And it's like, well, think about how you can now build together your portfolio, a digital portfolio that you can put together. So if someone asks you that question, you can say, here it is, here's a link to see it. And then when you're also on video, think about how you're looking, how you're talking. And those are some of the skills that I think have been really insightful, because we think, yeah, they all want to be a YouTube star. And again, linked to the Sky Project, one of the things we found is young people hate recording themselves on video. They find it really daunting, and it's a skill. But if they're going to market themselves, if they're going to get these work experience placements or get these jobs, they need to be able to have a really good digital portfolio. And that might include video as well as those interview processes. So there are people on my team, as I said, that I was involved in the interviews. I've never met them face to face. And you do make judgments based on those initial reactions when they're on a call and how they respond. So those would be the key insights that I would say, really think about that kind of digital platform, how you can present yourself in the best way.
I think that's a really good point there, if I just put in there, Lucy.
Absolutely.
In our current year 13s, they're applying to university and, you know, they're getting their offers back and they're now having to do some interviews and they're online. And, you know, I had a few of them come to me. I'm like, well, what do we do? They want us to do it on the computer. And I'm like, well, we had to go through lots of tips. So you're right. Now that the world is kind of moving and changing, we need to be able to adapt that and adapt the learning that we give them so that they're clued up and have the skill set necessary.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks, Vicky. This has been a really interesting conversation. As we've heard, it's a challenge both for schools and employers to engage students in the world of work and to find opportunities for students to gain such invaluable experience. To round up, perhaps each of you could recommend an important practical step that schools can take to maximise opportunities for developing work experience both inside and outside the classroom. What's your top tip and takeaway for our listeners? Tom?
Okay, I think the key is to, and listening to Vicky's feedback as well and my experience in school, engage with employers, but don't try and engage with hundreds of employers, because it's then how you maintain those relationships. So look for 8 to 10 good quality employers that you can trust, that you can then get feedback from. And also link to the previous response around making sure that your young people are presenting themselves in the best way. So when those employers give you opportunities, they then present themselves to the employers and the employers say, well, definitely they've taken time to research us. They've taken time to present themselves and they're getting something from it as well. So those would be my kind of top tips.
Excellent. Thanks, Tom. And Vicky, how about you? What's your key takeaway for our listeners?
I guess for me, one of the most important things is to introduce stuff early. For teachers, you know, get those soft skills integrated into your schemes of learning. You know, you don't have to change anything. You just need to be able to feed back and point towards skills that they're learning so that students start to understand what these skills are. Everything's about get it in there early. Let them understand the process. It's I can't do it any simpler than that. Just start early.
Yeah. Excellent.
Well, just a question there. Sorry, Lucy.
Go for it, Tom.
Is from speaking to a friend that works in the Careers Advisory Service, they're now focusing on looking at primary school pupils, because quite often in families, their aspirations are often capped at a young age because they think that's what I'm going to do because that's what my family have done. And so not just getting in early, linking with the primary schools and when you're looking at transition and junior schools, what careers information have they had already? And is there a kind of a pathway so you can build upon that? And it might open up some of those schools to start embedding some careers information at a younger age, which I think is important to open up opportunities.
Excellent. Thank you. Really good advice and tips there from Tom and Vicky. We've heard about working in cafes, to farm work, to co-ops, how lots of the options for students can be daunting. The future is unclear, probably never more so than in the last couple of years. But how important it is to get that contact with the world of work, even at such a young age, how important that work-related learning is that Vicky and Tom have told us about. And how things like mock interviews and CV writing, even if you're writing about a fictional character from Shakespeare, can really help students think about how they present themselves and their communication skills, self-management, teamwork. So hopefully everyone's taken something away from this podcast, so thanks very much. That's all for our work experience episode, and don't forget to tell your friends and colleagues about us and rate our show on whatever platform you're listening on. Our show notes have lots of useful links that we've discussed throughout the show. Follow us on Twitter at CUP Education or use the hashtag #BrighterThinking to respond. You can also email us at educationmarketing@cambridge.org.